Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Aerial images will be used to discover ancient sites on Exmoor in England, where amulets used as symbols of power by a Stonehenge elite. We have an intriguing report on that one. The Carpow Logboat Exhibition opens in Fife in Scotland. Excavations take place at 3,000-year-old Jinsha City in China. And still in China, the earliest modern human is reported on after its prior discovery. A 5,000-year-old temple platform is unearthed in Iran, and the home hunting habits of prehistoric Britons are explored. Finally, we have a possible missing stone and bank found at Long Meg in England. Archaeologists are hoping to unlock the secrets of Exmoor's ancestors by using aerial views of ancient sites and monuments. British prehistory experts Kane Hegarty and Catherine Toms are about to undertake one of the biggest challenges of their careers by examining more than 15,000 aerial images of the breathtaking national park. The aim of the project is to build up a detailed picture of the area's archaeology by noting features such as ditch marks, henges, barrows and field boundaries, features which can escape even an expert's eye unless viewed from the air. Kane estimates the research could reveal hundreds of previously unknown sites. The survey has been set up by English Heritage and will use photographs from local archives and a Cambridge University collection, with some images dating back to the 1940s. Exmoor is steeped in history and archaeology, with evidence of human activity stretching right back to the Neolithic period. A recent find indicates clothing ornaments thought to confer supernatural power might have originally been designed by Stonehenge leaders 4,000 years ago. While working 2 months ago in South Lowestoft, Suffolk, British archaeologist Claire Good excavated a four-sided object made of jet. It closely matches a geometrically designed gold object found far away at a burial site called Bush Barrow near Stonehenge in Wiltshire. The match is so close that experts believe the black artefact is a skeuomorph or a copy in a different material. Claire Good, who is with the Suffolk County Archaeology Service, made the discovery while investigating the remains of a probable funeral pyre dating to around 1900 to 1700 BCE. She thinks someone placed goods, including a flint knife, pottery, and the jet object inside the pit after the body had been burned. British archaeology editor Mike Pitts describes the jet object as having two parallel lines around the edge, supporting 12 pendant semicircles inside with a double circle and dot in the centre. Small floating lines of rocker decoration, some on the side facets, complete the design. This rocker decoration refers to the rocking motion that the artist likely used when carving, drawing or chiselling out the design. The jet piece was analysed and found traces of copper in four holes that were cut into the object. It's likely that the lozenge had been fitted onto a garment by copper pins. Put together with a position in which the bush barrow object was found, the jet and gold pieces probably were fitted onto a leather garment at the chest. Were these, perhaps, the trappings of an elite? A colourful and interesting exhibition of photographs about the now-famous Carpow logboat have opened at the Lang Museum in Newborough in Fife, Scotland. At around 3,000 years old, the logboat dates from the Late Bronze Age and is the second oldest vessel of its type ever found in Scotland. It was discovered in 2001 and recovered from the bed of the River Tay last year. The photographs follow the boat from its discovery in the Tay through the long process of recovery to its eventual arrival in Newborough, where it has been met by a BBC film crew. The logboat is currently undergoing extensive conservation work at the National Museums of Scotland, and the exhibition offers the opportunity to find out about its progress to date. The exhibition also contains a number of interesting archaeological finds from the Bronze Age period, as well as a selection of objects found in the Newborough area during excavations and by metal detectorists, who, by the way, were the first to locate the Carpow logboat. Objects on display include flint arrowheads, stone axe heads, pottery food vessels, funeral urns, brooches and seals. The exhibition has been put together in conjunction with Perth and Kinross Heritage Trust and runs until September the 30th from noon 5pm. From noon till 5pm daily. The archaeological site of Xinsha, located in Chengdu, the capital city of Sichuan province in China, was the capital of the Shu Kingdom close to 3,000 years ago. After some burials and sacrificial sites were recently discovered, a renewed effort was made to excavate the city. Xinsha rose to prominence around 1000 BCE, and so far over 800 tombs have been found, stretching back from that time right up to about 450 BCE. Experts revealed a 1,000-square-metre palace area lying to the north of the site, and the residential and cemetery areas took up the central part and would have comprised an area of around 5 square kilometres. In one tomb, 74 bronze items of high quality were uncovered. These items were all miniature weapons or tools such as knives, arrows, arrowheads, forks and axes, measuring at most 10 centimetres in length. The excavations also revealed the remains of houses. The climate in this area allowed for much of the wooden framework and the bark roofs to be preserved. One house covered an area of around 30 square metres, with a roof wholly made of bark. While we're in China, the remains of one of the earliest modern humans to inhabit Eastern Asia has been unearthed in a cave there. Researchers found 34 bone fragments belonging to a single individual at a cave near Beijing. Radiocarbon dates obtained directly from the bones show the person lived between 42 and 39,000 years ago. From this time period, which is critical for understanding the spread of modern humans around the world, we have two well-dated human fossils from Eastern Asia, one from Sarawak and Borneo, and now we have this specimen in China. As you go west, the next specimen is from Lebanon. There's nothing in between. The remains display diagnostic features of modern Homo sapiens, but Professor Eric Trinkhaus and his colleagues argue controversially that the bones also display features characteristic of earlier human species, such as relatively large front teeth. The most likely explanation, they argue, is interbreeding between early modern humans emerging from Africa and the archaic populations they encountered in Europe and Asia. The view of interbreeding between Homo sapiens and archaic humans is controversial. Other paleoanthropologists say that some of these features are simply retained from ancient African ancestors, and most genetic evidence gathered from present-day humans does not appear to support significant interbreeding between modern humans from Africa and the archaics. The researchers' analysis of the bones has revealed several interesting details about the individual's lifestyle. The person's age at death was estimated by how much the teeth had worn down. This put the individual in their late 40s or 50s. But the lack of a pelvis among the remains means that it is not possible to say with any certainty what sex they are. The specimen also shows several signs of disease. The individual had lost a number of teeth before death, not unusual considering the age. The researchers also identified several lesions or growths on the leg bones, which appear to have been caused by a condition affecting the muscle attachments around both knees. Whatever condition they were caused by, however, it does not appear to have disabled the person, because the remainder of the leg bones suggest that they kept active. The single toe bone, which was unearthed, seems to suggest that the individual wore some sort of shoe, pushing back the earliest known evidence for footwear by about 10,000 years. An earlier study by Professor Trinkhaus shows that human small toes became weaker during the Upper Paleolithic, and that this can probably be attributed to the adoption of shoes, which reduced humans' reliance on strong, flexible toes to grip and balance. I have to add a small addition to this one, thinking sort of stout shoes and knees which are being affected. I think we might have found the first archaeologist, actually. Anyway, back to the news. A 5,000-year-old brick platform has been discovered at the Gol-e Darvish Tepe from near Qom in central Iran. The platform was discovered during the fourth phase of excavations at the site and will complete the archaeological work on the site. However, some parts of the platform and a structure built on it have been destroyed by construction traffic. The site at Golodarvich Tepe once covered 50 hectares and was 30 metres high, but now it's only 6 metres in height, and only 10 hectares of the site remain untouched due to the construction of a highway. The platform was similar to examples in Mesopotamia, and following an ancient technique, a place had been dug out and filled with gravel, and the platform then constructed on this foundation. Then a structure, perhaps a temple, had been built upon this. Prehistoric cave dwellers may have placed the same emphasis on finding the right location for their homes as modern house hunters do today. 400 caves in the Peak District in the Yorkshire Dales National Parks in England were studied, and it was found that the size of the cave, the direction of view from the entrance, and its location were all important in determining whether particular caves were used 6,000 years ago. The study was led by Professor Andrew Chamberlain of the University of Sheffield and by Dr. Randolph Donoghue from the University of Bradford, and was aimed to find out more about the caves and how best to protect them for future generations. Professor Chamberlain said that the caves had been used throughout history for a number of purposes. Prehistoric hunters and farmers used them to stay in as they travelled through the landscape, almost like ancient motels, and they were also used as burial grounds and as food and equipment storage facilities. The study focused on the White Peak area of the Peak District, which stretches from south of Matlock to beyond Castleton in the north and over into the Staffordshire border. The area had around 500 caves, of which 200 were surveyed, along with 200 more in the Yorkshire Dales. Researchers recorded the setting and dimensions of each cave and also looked at archaeological deposits within them. Items unearthed included pottery, stone tools, animal remains, and even human remains when they had been used as burial chambers. From the items found inside, the team concluded the Castleton area, the Manifold Valley in Staffordshire, and Dovedale were all popular places for the cave dwellers. Professor Chamberlain said that they found larger caves and those that were higher up being preferred locations. Entrances would have to face a certain way to account for the weather as well. The sun mostly shines from the south and the wind blows from the west. The size of the cave itself and the size of the entrance were also important. For example, the entrance would be smaller if the cave was to be used for secret activities such as burial. It's also hoped the research will guide national policies for the conservation of caves and pave the way for a national study. This project has helped significantly with the archaeological investigation, providing a much better understanding of the conservation needs of the present day and the future. A student is leading the way and unlocking the mysteries of an ancient stone circle long Meg and her daughters near Little Salkeld in England. Sarah Potter of Yanwath, who is in her third year of a degree in archaeology at the University of Manchester, carried out the first complete geophysics survey of the stone circle over a three-day period. Long Meg is the third largest stone circle in Britain, following Avebury Outer Stone Circle and Stanton Drew in Somerset. The circle consists of 68 stones, of which 27 are still standing, and it also has an outlier stone called Long Meg. Sarah used modern resistivity equipment to conduct the field survey. The Long Meg pillar, which is made of local red sandstone, is believed to have come from the sources near the River Eden, and all the other stones are glacial erratics. Four of the stones are made of quartz, also known as crystal stones. There's never been any excavation work on the site, with not enough money in Cumbria for research excavation work. But Sarah said, now that they have some good geophysics results, this could point archaeologists in the right direction as to where to look for further clues. An excavation would enable a date to be pinpointed for the stone circle. At present, it's believed that the stones were collected and erected during the Neolithic period, between 4000 and 2250 BCE, with the introduction of farming and domestication of animals. Sarah now believes that Long Meg is no longer an outlier stone, but in fact was one of a pair of stones which flanked the entrance to the circle. Another interesting find is that there may have been a large bank which encircled the stones. She hopes to raise awareness of this vast Cumbrian prehistoric landscape, which is unique to this part of England and is comparable to the area around Stonehenge. So, there you go, Sarah. Come on, people, get your research up to Cumbria. Visit the landscape and also enjoy the prehistory there. I have to apologise for the delay in news recently, but this is due partly to my absence at the Institute of Field Archaeologists conference in Reading, where I seem to meet friends only once a year, and I have to say it was good to see you all there, and also to the malicious attentions of hackers on the Stone Pages website. So I do apologise for the break in news and hope it hasn't spoiled your enjoyment. Can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK Heritage Calendar, Library and Guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found on Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us again next week, and I can assure you, we'll be there.